Proverbs chapter 11, please, first of all. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. Very familiar verse. Proverbs 11, verse number 30. The Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Would you say that with me, please, as we read it together? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You believe that?
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. You know, a wise person is an example of a meaningful life, a meaningful life. A wise person. I believe that. And we realize, why now is it important for us to witness? Why is it important for us to witness? I believe there's two specific reasons. There's many reasons. But why should I witness? Why should you witness today in our world in which we live? First of all, it keeps us in touch with God. It keeps us in touch with God. We realize our responsibility. If you never witness, if I never witness, it never dawns on us really how good God is to us, what he's done for us. We need to witness because we see, first of all, it keeps us in touch with God. Number two, it offers eternal life to those that we witness to. Do you realize that the vast majority of people in this world are going to die and go to hell? You know why? Because we're not witnessing. We're not presenting the gospel. We're not talking to people about the Lord. And it's our responsibility. Jesus commands us to go to all the world and teach them, spread the gospel, and teach the word of God everywhere. Therefore, we have a big responsibility, folks. We really do. May the Lord help us today as we look at this subject of witnessing, and that God may help us to realize it's our responsibility, and yet also it's our privilege when we witness to people. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the opportunity to be in your house. I thank you for these that have come now. Lord, I just pray, Lord, as we come together, Lord, that you will lead and guide and direct in the subject today that we talk about, a witnessing. I pray, God, you might stir our hearts. And God, help us to realize, Lord, that we need to be busy talking to people about you. Lord, I just pray now your will be done in our life. I thank you for these that are here. And I pray, Lord, you will bless them today. May the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, Lord, teach us what we need to know. And God, that we might accept it in our life and apply it to our life daily. Help those that are not able to be with us today, Lord. I just pray you bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now again, it's our responsibility to be a witness. Jesus Christ commands it. We see in Matthew, of course, Matthew's Gospel, where the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us it's our responsibility to be a witness. Go to all the world. Now, what is going to drive you? What is going to motivate me and you to go out and be a witness? What is it that's going to encourage us? Number one, we need to focus on how much God loves us. How much Jesus loves us. He loved us enough to do what for us? Die for us. Therefore, when we think about how much he loved us, how much he that the fact that he died for us, what he went through, that death that he went through, this should motivate us. Paul says, the love of Christ constraineth us. Constraineth us, you know, moves us, drives us to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, first of all, our motive in winning people to Christ is our love for Christ and also our desire to obey his command. His command. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 tells us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, everywhere, no matter where we are. Yes, in Clayton, North Carolina. We're to do this. It's our responsibility as God's children. He's commanded us to do this, and we need to be busy doing it. Christ was motivated himself by obeying his Father, and also by the love he gave in going to Calvary, and the love he showed in going to Calvary. He was motivated himself. Therefore, we ought to be motivated also. The love of Christ is the only motive that's going to drive us in life to do things that are disappointing, things that are dangerous, and things that are defeating. It's all the love of Christ. You know, you're here today in Sunday school because you love Jesus, aren't you? You're here today because you love Christ. You love God. You love what he's done for you. There was probably things that might have tried to hinder you today from being here. But because you love Christ, you have motivated yourself, you have driven yourself to be where you ought to be, here in Sunday school, here in church. And sometimes it's that way. When we have to do that in our life. The basic for soul winning in the Bible is love. How much do we love people? How much do we care about people? How much do we care about where people are going to spend eternity in? Love, love, love is the key in life, no matter what subject you're talking about. But love certainly is the key in when we're talking about witnessing, going out and witnessing and talking to people about the Lord. So we see, first of all, the command of Christ. Secondly, we see the condition of those that are not saved. The condition of the unsaved. Sometimes we fail to realize what condition they're in. The unsaved, that is. First of all, they're empty. They're empty. Men without Christ in their lives are empty, folks. They have nothing to live for. They're drawing straws everywhere in this world. Everything in this world eventually is going to fade away. It gets old fast. They're empty. I remember before I was saved, I was empty. There was a void in my life that nothing filled it. Everything I tried did not fill it. Well, every man is that way. Every person is that way before they trust Christ as Savior. So we see the lost people are empty. They have no meaning. They have no purpose in their life. A life cannot be complete on this earth without Jesus Christ in your life. It cannot be complete. It's going to be void. It's going to be empty. It's going to be lonely. It's going to be all these things in our life without Christ. But thank God, Jesus Christ, when He comes in our life, He fills that void. He fills that loneliness that we have. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, if you will, please. We're talking about the unsaved today. We need to witness because of them. In 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, we see the lost person, lost people today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Paul's writing here and he says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now notice verse number 4. "In whom, notice, the God," that's a little God, "the God of this world hath what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." We see here that the unsaved person has been blinded by the devil. Blinded by the devil. They have no hope. Their only hope is the light of the gospel. The gospel that we have the opportunity to share with them. They're blinded. They're walking like in darkness. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going. They don't even know why they're here. They're blinded. And we need to understand that when we try to talk to people about the Lord. You know, we used to be there, except for the mercy of God. But they're lost. They're blinded. They don't understand. They can't see their need to be saved. They're blinded by the God of the world, the God of the world. And also, we see the sin of silence. We see today, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. We are indebted. We're indebted to tell the unsaved about Jesus Christ. We're indebted. We owe them to tell them about Jesus Christ. Again, in Romans, turn with me to Romans, back a little bit, to Romans chapter 1. That's what Paul says here. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul says, I'm in debt. I'm in debt to the Greek, the barbarians. I'm in debt to people in the world that are around me. I need to tell them. I must tell them. I got to tell them about Jesus Christ because of the love of Christ that's in me. When we realize how much God loves us, folks, you know, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve God's mercy. My wife and I yesterday were at a funeral, and God was talking about a man, and his mother came to his church, and his wife, and he'd been trying to reach this young man for many years. And finally, last Thanksgiving, he got real sick. Last, in the last year, he got real sick with cancer and realized he was going to die. And finally, he saw the mercy of God reach down in this young man's heart and break him. And he got saved 2 weeks before he died. Folks, that's the mercy of God. Brother Sam, I can see back when I got saved years ago, I can see the mercy of God upon me, coming to my heart, coming to me. Oh, I thank God today for his mercy. He reaches down. Another lady that passed away this past year, last year, that is, she got saved on Thursday, and Friday she went into coma. She never made it, she died. Just that close, folks. Just that close to dying. You run across people, and I do every day, that are literally, we all want to die. We know we've got an appointment to die. But we don't know how close we are to death. None of us. Therefore, if the love of Christ in us, when I think of what God has done for me, folks, how can I but not tell people about Jesus? How can I not? May the Lord help us and motivate us. Do you realize the world owes us nothing as a Christian? The world owes us nothing, but we owe the world the gospel. We owe the world the gospel. Folks, if we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? They won't be told. They won't be told. I pray God will help us to realize this. You know, I really believe my heart, it's a sin, it's a terrible sin for me as a Christian to be silent when I have the good news to tell people and don't tell them. I believe it's a sin. It's a sin of omission. I'm not doing what I should do. I'm not doing what I should do because Christ has commanded us to go and to be a witness to everybody. To everybody. You know how to talk to everybody. Take tracts with you. Pass out tracts. Do something. To get people to think. Because people's minds today are going everywhere. They're not on God, that's for sure. Many excuses have been offered for not witnessing to lost people. I've offered a few of myself. We all do. It's not my responsibility. If you're saved, it's your responsibility. It's not just a preacher, not just a teacher, it's every Christian. Every born-again Christian, it's your responsibility to be a witness. It's your responsibility. He has chosen men to tell the gospel story. Every one of us. May the Lord help us and we realize. Some people say, well, people won't listen. Well, that's true. A lot of people don't. But we still have a story to tell. We have a story to tell. Do you realize it's not your responsibility, it's not my responsibility to make men listen to you? But it is our responsibility to go and tell. And we're to go and tell in the right attitude, the right spirit. Without the Spirit of God, we can't do it. Nothing will be accomplished. That's the Spirit of God is flowing through us and telling us what to say and what to do. We have God's authority to tell people about Jesus. We have his authority on the Word of God. If our Father in heaven loved us so much, he gave us this charge with this responsibility. He loved us so much. Don't you think he's going to be with us when we do it? I think he will. I think he'll enable us because he's given us this opportunity, this privilege to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So when people say, I'm not able, well, we all can say that. Amen? You know, it's not easy to talk to people about the Lord, is it? I think probably this is where most of us feel so weak at. You go up to this door, Brother Anderson, and knock on the door. You don't know who's behind that door. And when they come to the door, you don't know what you're going to say. You know, all of us feel weak. All of us feel kind of, well, what am I going to do? What do? We have to pray and we ask God to help us. Listen, if God don't do it, it won't be done. I can't do it. You can't do it. It's God that helps us. We're not able. Our strength comes from who? The Holy Spirit that indwells us. He is the one that's with us. He's the one that empowers us and gives us what we need. He gives us power to make us able to do what we ought to do. He speaks through us as we yield to Him for His direction. He gives us the wisdom we need to be able to say the right thing to the right person. Have you ever been visiting and talked to people and they didn't get saved? You walked away and you know, you're kind of like a dog walking away with his tail between his legs, kind of sad, don't know why. What did I say right? Wondering what I should have said. Why didn't I say this? Why didn't I say that? You know, I've done that a lot. But you know, this is not going to stop me from going. I'm going to keep praying and asking God to help me. Because I realize I can't do it myself. If it's going to be done, He has to do it. He has to do it. He has to do it. It's our purpose to win souls. It's our program to seek the lost as Christians. We need to be seeking the lost people in this world in which we live. Now, take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10. I was looking at something this morning. Very important. We need to realize as we go to visit and witness, there are some things that's necessary for us to win people to Christ. In Romans chapter 10, look at verse 13. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. Paul says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You believe that? Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Now, with that verse in mind, what is the first thing necessary for a person to be saved? Tell me. A lost sinner, right. A lost sinner. If people are not lost and they're not recognized as sinners, they won't be saved. Amen? The first ingredient, the first thing necessary to have a person saved is you have to have a lost sinner. A lost sinner. Let me ask you, is it hard for us today to find somebody lost? Raise your hand. I mean, so many people go to church, so many people, you know, they do good and, you know, all this kind of things they give you as excuses for not really realizing they're lost. But the first thing necessary for people to be saved is you've got to find somebody lost. Somebody lost. Now, a sinner that's lost, they're degenerated. Turn over to Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's look at the condition of a lost person. We look at ourselves where we used to be and where people are today, and they don't realize it. Ephesians chapter 2, as we look at the sinner, a sinner needs to understand his mind is degenerated. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were what? Dead in what? Trespasses and sin." See, we were dead in trespasses and sin, and we've been made alive. That word quickened means made alive. By who? By the Spirit of God. When we called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to save us, He saved us. Verse number 2 says, "Wherein time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We see here understanding who you are. It's a great milestone. It's a great accomplishment for a person to realize today that they're sinners. They're sinners. I recall my life coming up, going to Sunday school and church just about every week. As I heard the Word of God talk to me and preach to me, the Spirit of God began to work in my heart, in my life. I'd go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday school, and sit back in church, and the invitation time, I would be very nervous. Something was going on within me that I didn't understand. Of course, I know now it was the Spirit of God working in my heart and life. But you know, it's sad to say, people today can cover that up real well. We still have the same Bible, don't we? We still have the same Word. The Holy Spirit is still the same. But people today know how to turn it off, so to speak. And when the Spirit of God gets so powerful in your life and working in you, you can't turn Him off. You're going to have to respond to Him. I'll never forget that day that I did. And give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day that was. But we see today here, the first thing necessary to have a person saved is there has to be a lost sinner. There has to be a lost sinner. We see here. Today, we realize we're living in a society that is different from 4 or 5 decades ago. Years ago, you could have some success in getting some of the lost people to church for spiritual reasons. But nowadays, it's hard to get even Christians and lost people to church, or to participate in anything that's spiritually. There's two things, and one thing particularly you can do to get a crowd. You can feed them, and you get a crowd. You can have a concert, and you get a crowd. You know? Those are the things people will come to. But when it comes to the teaching of the Bible and the preaching of the Word of God, it's hard to get people to come. It really is, unless you give them something. Give them something they want. Tangible, materialistic things. You give them something, you get a crowd. Oh, may the Lord help us today to realize this. By the way, may I say this to us? Nowhere in the Bible do you see commanded lost people to come to church. Nowhere in the Bible. The Bible teaches that Christians are to go to the lost people. We're to go get the lost. They're not commanded to come to church. We're commanded to go get them. They'll go and compel them, as Paul says, compel them to church. Therefore, whenever we go out and witness to people and talk to people about the Lord, we need to present Christ to them. Christ first, and then the church. If we can get a person saved, then we invite them to church. First of all, we need to invite them to Christ. He needs to be first. Why do you say that, Brother Keith? Because probably you'll never see that person again. You got one chance. Boom, that's it. You probably never go back to that house, never see them again. Why not tell them the most important thing? They need Christ. Are they lost? Are they lost? We see the Bible method, again, is to bring people to bring sinners to church. Invite them to church. Invite them to Christ, first of all. We see today, I'm afraid most of us, when we go visiting, we don't invite people to Christ. We invite them to church first. May the Lord help us to realize Christ needs to be first. Christ needs to be first, folks. He really does. Let me ask you this. Those of you that visit, in the last year, in 2014, how many of the people that you invited to church ever came? Think about it. It's very seldom that you invite somebody to come to church and they come, isn't it? They just don't do it. But if you and I, God can use us and enable us to invite somebody to Christ and have the opportunity to share the gospel with them and lead them to Christ, your chances of getting people in church is going to be more, because they're going to see their need to come, because now they're saved. they're saved. So it's very important that we realize the sinner, the lost sinner, is necessary to have a person saved. When we witness it, there has to be the lost sinner. Number two, there has to be the Holy Spirit. Look back in Romans again where we were in chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, let me turn by here real quick, and verse number 15. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as is written? How beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There has to be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sends us. He sends us where we go. He sends us. I'm thankful today for the Holy Spirit that indwells us as believers. This is a secret, folks, for people getting saved, is the working of the Holy Spirit. Do we realize that? Do we understand this? What I'm saying, winning souls is the work and the responsibility of every believer. But we must remember that God does the work, not us. Not us. Remember what Jesus says? For without me, you can do what? Nothing. We can't do it without Him. It takes the working of the Spirit of God in us to enable us to talk to people about Christ and see people saved. We need to realize today that we need the Lord. We need the Lord more than we need anything in this world. When we realize that it's the Spirit of God that's going to enable us to do what we ought to do. And do the job that we can only do by Him. Number three, we see another necessary thing for winning people to Christ is the Bible. The Word of God. You know, it's an amazing thing to me how much power is in this book. We have no power within us except the Spirit of God. But when we begin to share this with people, this begins to speak. This will do things for people that you and I can never do. We will read the Word of God to them. It'll penetrate in their heart and their life. We must deal with unbelievers with the Bible. It's very necessary to use the Bible. Why? They might receive forgiveness of their sins. The sinner does not need to join the church, folks. You know that? The sinner does not need to give an offering. The sinner does not need to live a good life. He does not need to be baptized. He needs to be saved. He needs to be saved. The sinner does. So we see that it's absolutely essential for this lost person to have faith. Now, where does that faith come from? Tell me. Romans 10, 17. The Word of God. By hearing the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to help them to see their need to be saved is faith in God's Word, the Word of God. The only thing that will produce faith in the heart is the Word of God. The Word of God. Not what I say, but what God says. But what God says, you see. A person cannot be saved without the work of the Word of God in his heart producing faith and calling upon the Lord. That's what God uses. He uses the Word. There has to be the lost sinner. There has to be the Spirit of God. There has to be the Bible. And certainly last but not least, there has to be the soul winner. The soul winner. Romans 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Verse 14 says, how shall they hear? How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? A preacher. A witness. They're not going to hear unless we tell them, folks. They're not going to hear. The soul winner, I'm afraid, is the missing element today in witnessing and while people are not being saved. God Himself cannot communicate His message of salvation to the lost because His sin has broken the line of communication with God. God works through a man, works through people. God works through you. The only way God is communicating his plan of salvation is to the lost through a person, an individual. That's how God communicates it. We must remember, who are we? We're representatives of who? Jesus Christ. We represent him here on this earth. Therefore, we see that the soul winner today, may the Lord help us to realize our need. What is our part? What is God's part in witnessing and soul winning, folks? Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Turn there quickly. We'll close here in a minute. Matthew 28. We must recognize our part. We must recognize the Spirit's part and also God. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What is our part here? To go and to what? Preach. Go and preach. Go and teach. That's our part. Who are we to go to? All. Go, the Bible says. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We're to go to all and tell the good news of Jesus Christ. We're to go to all. What is the Spirit's part? He is to illuminate the mind, to give them to understand their need to be saved. He is to convict the sinner. I can't convict the sinner. The Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit does. He also is to save the soul. People are saved by the working of the Spirit of God in their heart. He does that, not us. Not us. Now, it is God that works through the Holy Spirit. It is God that works by the Holy Spirit, again, to bring the sinner to conviction, to understanding who he is and what he needs to do in his life. He gives him faith to believe. God does, by the Spirit of God, and he can change the heart. He can change the heart. You know, I'm so glad that God knows my heart. God knows your heart. He knows what we need. You know, it's a miracle, folks, when we come to church, and God's man stands up and preaches the Word of God, there'd be 150, 200, 300 people here. How many is here? And every individual here has a heart. Every individual here has a different need. But you know, it's an amazing thing to me. When the Word of God is broken, anointed by the Spirit of God, how God, through His Word, can speak to every individual and meet every need that's here. Folks, that's God. That's God. He can do that if we'll allow Him to. If we'll allow Him to. And not turn them away. We are only instruments that are used by God. We go and we present the gospel. But God must say, folks, witnessing is very important. It's very important. The method that we use is important. But it's more important to have God's power upon us to do it. Because without His Holy Spirit in us and working, nothing will be accomplished. We can go and witness in the flesh. It's like we can teach in the flesh. It's like we can do anything in the flesh. But it's not going to accomplish anything. It has to be anointed by the Spirit of God. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, a lost sinner, he will not feel convicted in his sins. He won't feel conviction. He will not understand the gospel. Therefore, he will not be saved. He will not be saved. If we as Christians are not soul winners, when we're not filled with the Spirit of God, we're not going to be good soul winners. We can't be. We can't be. To be filled with the Holy Spirit of God is to be empty of yourself. Empty of myself. And this is the only way that God's Word is going to be done. You know, witnessing is it's a privilege, it's an opportunity, it's a responsibility to every one of us, folks. I'm trying to say this to us today. And may the Lord help us to realize you don't have to go at a certain time. You don't have to go to a certain place. just wherever you are. Use what you have. Use what you have. The time you have. The opportunity you have. Wherever you are. And tell people about Jesus. May the Lord help us to realize we have a responsibility. We're indebted to this world to tell them about Christ. And may the Lord help us to be busy doing that. It's a blessing, folks. It's a joy. You'll be happier if you tell people about Jesus. You really will. You'll be happier, I promise you. Father, I want to thank you today for loving us in spite of us. Thank you today for your word, how it instructs us and guides us. And I pray, Lord, now today as we talk about this subject of witnessing, Lord, you just might remind us, Lord, that we need to start. If we've been slack, if we've not been doing it, God, you might help us to realize how important it is that we're to go into all the world and tell people about Jesus. Lord, help us to be found faithful. Lord, we know time is running out. You're going to come soon, but until you do, Lord, help us to occupy. Father, bless now your word as it's preached in the next hour. Bless this service, all that's done. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.